Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, this message is a follow-up on last Sunday's sermon about the God of the Bible being the triune God. This is a key heartbeat Christian doctrine, though ever so unfathomable. For this sermon, the aim is to have us see more some of the practical gems to be gleaned from the doctrine of the Trinity. It has been rightly said by Christians in the past, try to fully understand the Trinity, and you will lose your mind. But ignore the Trinity, and you will lose your soul. In other words, there's so much most essential and wonderful to be gleaned from the gospel fact that the God revealed in the Holy Bible is the triune God, one God in three distinct persons. The doctrine of the Trinity is not just something for ivory tower theologians to discuss and to debate, but it is real to life, wonderful, most helpful gospel truth for God's people day by day, till journey's end here on earth, and then in eternity, far more so, even perfectly and endlessly. So will you consider with me at least the following five ways the doctrine of the Trinity is such a blessing when believed and lived by? For one, think of the Christian comfort this doctrine provides us. The Christian comfort. To prove this is a key purpose for the revelation of the Trinity, namely to give us rich comfort in the faith, notice with me what Jesus especially focused on with his disciples before his crucifixion. On the night before his death, we are told in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 to 17, about Jesus spending quality and intimate time yet with his disciples. You may be aware how the Bible tells us the disciples were deeply troubled and confused and concerned at this time with all that was going on in connection with Jesus, their master. Not only did they witness the increasing hostility against Jesus, but they heard Jesus' words repeatedly mentioning about him laying down his life and departing even, and they were very concerned about a devastating break in their relationship with Jesus. What would happen to Jesus, and what would happen to them? But Jesus then, as told to us in these chapters, John 13 to 17, spoke ever so tenderly to them and went out of his way to speak comfortably to them in their time of need and doubt and despair. Let not your heart be troubled, we hear him say at the beginning of John 14. And do not be afraid, he says in that chapter to his disciples. And then what does Jesus focus on especially? Let us take note what Jesus does especially to comfort and encourage his disciples in their troubles is to teach and show them something of God's Trinitarian being and works and ways, and oh, what comforting good news he proclaims and promises thereby. What Jesus makes plain is that knowing the one true God as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, proves him as the God of all comfort, indeed, beyond all words to tell. And how the doctrine of the Trinity then should so enrich and gladden us in our daily life relationship with him, and even with one another, when we are Christians. Jesus himself, dwelling on God being triune the night before his crucifixion, shows us in a real way not only the importance of God being triune God, but also something of its infinite meaningfulness. Just take two texts like John 14, verse 16 and 26. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, in regards to the disciples' fear of being abandoned and left alone, when Jesus would depart from them, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then in John 14, verse 26, Jesus proclaims and gives divine assurance concerning the gospel promise, saying, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Notice here, dear friends, how Jesus is shown as the asking, caring Savior for his people, and the Father declared here as the giving, caring Father for his people, and the Spirit revealed as the ministering, caring Helper for his people. Isn't that most precious, I ask? Though Jesus in his human nature would be leaving them after his death and resurrection, and with his ascension return to heaven, yet the Father, for Jesus' sake, is ready to give abundantly all the salvation gifts Christ purchased and obtained through his once-for-all sacrifice on behalf of his people. And those salvation gifts include, especially also, the divine Comforter and Helper, the Holy Spirit, in us and with us in all our ways. How comforting, too, that the Holy Spirit, whom God the Father and the Son would send, that Spirit not only will teach his followers all things that Jesus taught and obtained for his people, but will remind us of it all too, and that he will remain with us, each one and all of his people, forever even. This means God's people, all who repent of sin and trust and follow Jesus Christ, are never left alone, never left as orphans, literally. No, but in fact, even in the darkest and most difficult of our times in life here on earth, when joined to Christ by grace through faith, oh, then you and I may know and be assured of the triune God of salvation ever with us, and with God always above us and for us and in us, yes, in and through the three persons of the divine Trinity, the one only God. Oh, the doctrine of the Trinity, we see then as revealed in Christ and his saving work, enriches the Christian's comfort exponentially in an infinite measure. Dear friends, from John chapter 13 to 17, when Jesus, even the night before his crucifixion, so focuses on the Trinity, should prove and promise to us what comfort is found in and with God triune as your God and my God. God's people may know that in any trouble and crises we have God the Father that we may turn to, always caring for us, and God the Son always praying and interceding for us and reaching out to us from glory with his sin-atoning, all-sufficient, nail-pierced hands, ever ready to help us and to save us and to forgive us and to restore us and to carry us and to strengthen and equip us. And we have the Holy Spirit as other divine Comforter and Helper in us and by us, ever ministering to us, leading us in God's gospel way by the Word of God, guiding us in the way everlasting, the way of eternal life, now and forevermore. Oh, practically speaking, no doubt, for not one of us, when Christians, do we draw comfort from the Blessed Trinity as we might and should, and as God in his Word invites us to do. But therefore also this message now of gospel encouragement for you who are Christians. Listen, whatever your trial and need, your temptation and struggle, bring it to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as made known especially with Jesus and him crucified, and what comfort and help you will find. To see also more the practical aspect of this, we need to think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 1, wherein, praising God as the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, what else does Paul say then? Receiving this comfort for ourselves by God's grace, the apostle then says what we are to do, namely, that we might be able to comfort them, others around us, he means, which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, God reveals himself to his people as triune God of salvation and endless comfort, that we in turn also might not only glorify him, but reach out to others in witness and testimony of this only true God. And God of all comfort, he truly is, as triune Savior God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you and I, when Christians, pointing others to the Lord and showing the blessedness of trusting and following the triune God of the Bible? Here let us move on now to a second practical gem to be gleaned from the Trinity. Not only does it show us the source and riches of Christian comfort as can nowhere else be found, but consider too how this doctrine of the Trinity can be of so much help in the way of showing true love in our relationships, not only to God, but also to our neighbors. Oh, the doctrine of the Trinity, when trusted and prized, so impacts our relationships with others most graciously and lovingly. The solemn reality is that in this fallen world, with depraved sinners by nature as we all are, while there's endless talk about love, yet true love, pure love, and humble respect for others can neither be known nor shown on our own. In God's common grace and mercy on this fallen world, we see unbelievers showing some genuine love still, even among the heathens, thank God. But honestly speaking, caring and faithful, true love in all our relationships before God and those around us is something of God triune in our lives. Such love is not natural for us as fallen, corrupted sinners on our own. This the Bible makes very clear, and world history proves beyond measure, even to the present day. So, for the measure and character and commitment in true love for one another, we should think much, dear friends, on the love relationship within the Trinity, the three persons of the triune Godhead, and the love shown by God triune in all his works and ways. What can we say about the love of God triune? Jesus tells us in the chapters 13 to 17 of John that God the Father's love towards him is endless, and the love bond within the Trinity eternally mutual and everlastingly steadfast and delightful. Jesus knew he himself was so loved by his heavenly Father, and it was an infinite love to his Father as well as for sinners that Jesus gave himself even to the death of the cross for the salvation of sinners. All the Trinity knew, Jesus and him crucified and risen as Savior on behalf of sinners, is the only way that the infinite love of God triune may also be shown to us and be known by us and be reflected by us. So in these same chapters of John 13 to 17, Jesus also makes plain, doesn't he, something of how this same love from God triune is indeed to be shown by us, not only to God, but to others, to all those around us, especially also in our families and congregations and communities we live. The definition of true love before God and our neighbor is not to be determined by human standards, no, but by God's standards and the triune God's own example. Of course, we never are or can be as God himself, but as creatures made in his image, as triune God, we are to reflect in our relationships the love and care he shows to us. It is almost surprising how often Jesus mentions in the chapters 13 to 17 the importance also of walking in true love, even as God loves us in Christ Jesus. It is most interesting to refer here also to 1 John, for the Apostle John's many references there to walking in truth and love when joined to Christ as only Savior and Lord. Let me just mention one verse, 1 John 4:11, where John exhorts in God's name, "Beloved, if God so loved us, giving his only begotten Son to save us even to the death on the cross in the sinner's place," he's referring to, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So, dear friends, apply this now in regards to your marriage relationship, if you are married. Paul instructs in Ephesians 5, husbands to love their wives as Christ loves his church. And wives are to serve their husbands as the church is devoted to the Savior. What tender love and forgiving love and patient love and self-sacrificing love and respect and enduring Christ-like love we are to show one to another as spouses and also as parents with our children and as brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the congregation, and as people in our communities to those around us. Don't let your love standards and practices be determined by the world or by your feelings. No, but by God's word and God's revelation of himself as triune God of infinite love, even as shown the night before Jesus' crucifixion. True triune God-like, Christ-like love always gives and never takes in a demanding and entitlement sort of way before God and our neighbor, including in marriage and family life. Sadly, how much sinful selfishness is sometimes presented as being loving when it is not so at all. Being lustful is our natural way as sinners, but not loving. Oh, who of us doesn't have so much to learn from God triune and his love, that love most fully revealed also in Christ and him crucified? Hearing all this, does it give you reason even now to repent of sin and all too much impatient and selfish lovelessness still, really? Oh, to be sorry and to apologize truly. That is not bad, should that be the case. It would be sad, in fact, if you and I don't and won't say sorry for all too often being yet so unloving or so selfishly loving in a worldly way rather than in a Christian way. Most certainly, it is the case, dear friends, that nothing can promote true love in our fallen world like a Christian understanding and experiential acquaintance and familiarity with God's love as the triune God reveals his love in his own being and makes known that love to us as most fully shown in Christ and him crucified. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Paul exalts in Romans 5 verse 8. In Ephesians 3 verse 19, he speaks too of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes, and that we might know and enjoy and reflect also something of what is the breadth and the length and depth and height of God triune's infinite love in himself and overflowing to his people in and through Christ Jesus, the God-sent Savior of sinners. Jesus forewarns us that one of the signs of his second coming approaching closer will be an increasing lovelessness in this world, even in the closest family relations. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 11. And I ask you, dear friends, are we not living in such dark and dreadful and overall cold times between people, in people's relationships? Only in daily fellowship with God triune and his love and practically living out of that bond of eternal love by God's grace can and does this lovelessness of the natural man in sin change. May the Lord by his Spirit and word now so richly bless the doctrine of the Trinity to us that the love bond within and from the Trinity also shine through in our lives by grace through faith in all our relationships with others at home and all around us. Do you care and pray about this too? Shouldn't we, if it is well with our soul? A third related practical gem in connection with this, to be gleaned from the doctrine of the Trinity, is to see the importance of faithfulness in all our responsibilities. Faithfulness. We can learn about true comfort and real love and also steadfast faithfulness, considering God as triune God. Think here of how the Trinity in eternity made a most holy covenant between them, that the Father would elect sinners unto salvation, the Son would give his life as Redeemer for their salvation, and the Spirit would be the minister of salvation in people's minds and hearts. Well, from eternity to eternity, have not the three persons of the Trinity been ever faithful and true in all their promised commitments and responsibilities, regardless of whatever? Not one person of the Trinity from the eternity before to the present day ever failed in a responsibility given and commitment promised. No wonder the Bible exclaims then, even in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, "Great is thy faithfulness," thinking also of our triune God. The triune God's faithfulness is reflected perfectly in all the inter-Trinitarian relations and also in all their works and ways, all together as Trinity and each person of the Trinity. With the work of creation and providence and redemption, God has remained always faithful and true, regardless of the opposition and resistance and ingratitude that God would encounter from Satan and this fallen world and all depraved, rebellious mankind. Again, I ask, shouldn't the faithfulness of God triune in all his being and works and ways inspire and motivate us too, then, to be downright faithful, even in the smallest details and responsibilities in life? Does the Lord not work this by his Holy Spirit and Word, in all his redeemed people, in his sanctifying grace? What a poor witness always when, as confessing Christians, we are not faithful in the duties given to us or requested of us, especially also when we have agreed to those responsibilities. Oh, let the doctrine of the Trinity and God's faithfulness through the endless ages convict us of sin and shortcoming in this regard and spur us on in repentance and renewal in being faithful before God and our neighbor in all that is expected and required of us in whatever place and calling you and I have in life. What does Paul write to the Christians in Colossae in Colossians 3, verse 17 and 23? "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." Oh, listen here yet to Jesus' own words in John 14:31, showing his steadfast faithfulness even to the death of the cross, when he says there, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And so Jesus went even to Golgotha to give his life a ransom for many, yes, even to the death of the cross. There are many more practical gems to mention to be gleaned from the Trinity, no doubt. Think, for instance, how the doctrine of the Trinity believed and reflected surely also impacts our worship of God. Let it be Trinitarian dependent and devoted. True Christian worship and praise is always Trinitarian mindful and glories in God triune. It is the mark of Orthodox Christian worship to God's glory. In true Christian worship, you by God's grace rejoice in God as your dear Heavenly Father and delight in him as your beloved Savior, the crucified and risen Redeemer, and you honor him as your Holy Spirit comforter and helper and teacher and sanctifier who remains with us forever as Jesus promised. Oh, do you and I consciously and repeatedly give fervent praise and prayer to God as triune God in this way, worshiping the three in one and one in three? Isn't this something to learn and to grow into more and more in the Christian life? Beware of false worship that doesn't look to and acknowledge and exalt the triune God. Then lastly, shouldn't the doctrine of the Trinity have the practical benefit and fruit also in our lives of guiding us in joyful Christian witness? And I mean here, how great is the God of the Bible, and what blessings are found with him for us by grace through faith in Jesus as only Savior and Lord. God's people may be filled with so much hope and expectation and confidence already in this life, but then for the life to come, even infinitely more so. Jesus in John chapters 13 to 17 mentions the peace and the joy and the riches that may be yours and mine when belonging to Christ in true faith and having this one only God triune as our God in and through Jesus, the triumphant Savior of sinners. What the gospel promises from the triune God is nothing like the false peace and the passing joy and the futile riches of this sinful world. No, but looking to Jesus, durable riches are found and everlasting blessings for soul and body from God triune. They may be ours and we may be partakers thereof already here in part and in the next life in eternal fullness forevermore. What a future God's people have, a sure future of never-ending blessings and discoveries beyond our wildest imaginations, all of grace for Jesus' sake alone, as given by the Father and ministered to us and in us by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that all Christians would live and die, giving by God's grace and Spirit sincere and steadfast Christian testimony and praise to our triune God in a way that people can't help but notice. If you are someone who doesn't yet know God triune as revealed in Christ Jesus and made known to us in the Holy Bible, oh, the triune God in all three persons calls you earnestly also through this sermon to seek him while he may yet be found and to call upon him while he is near. He is near even now in the preaching of his gospel word on this blessed subject today, practical gems from the doctrine of the Trinity. May God triune so bless this radio message now then to all who hear it, to the glory of his name, and to him alone be the glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.